This is coming with authority. It's coming in the form of an imperative. You remember there that it says there's three participles: going, baptizing, teaching. But the imperative, the command, is make disciples. I think the disciples understood what he was saying. After all, they had been with him for 3 years, 3.5 years. He was turning them into disciples. So I think they knew what he was talking about. But sometimes I wonder, do you and I understand what Jesus was saying when he gave them a command and gives us a command to make disciples? So I'd like to go from the last words that Jesus was saying there, where he gives that imperative, to some of his first words. And here's where I'd like you to open up to Matthew chapter 4. No, I'm out. That's okay. Matthew chapter 4, starting at verse 18. Now as Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. I'd like us to concentrate on verse 19. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Three phrases there. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Continue the story of Marcio. When he came to the seminary to study with us, he was placed in a small group. We've always tried to divide the students up into small groups, and each group is accompanied by a couple on the staff. Ken and Susan accompanied a group that was with them during the years that they were at the seminary. And the idea is not just to fill their heads with knowledge, but to have somebody there that they can follow, who can have an impact on their lives. Marcy was placed in the group of a staff member who years earlier had been a student at the school, had finished the course at the school and gone on to be a pastor, and then later came back to be part of our staff, and now he was a group leader in which Marcia was placed. Am I doing? My heart beating too hard. This group leader, back when he was a student, had a real problem with a short temper. And he had to let God work on that in his life. And to a certain extent, he was still working on it when he was part of our staff. Now Marcia was placed into his group. And just a while ago, I was talking with Marcia, and I asked him, "Marcia, did your group leader have an impact on your life?" And he said, "Oh yes, because I also had a problem with a short temper." And he placed me in the group of a staff member who was struggling with that area of his life. And that ended up being a real help to me as I struggled with a quick temper in my life. Marcio was following this group leader. The idea being that this group leader could have an impact on his life because of a relationship. When I think of the word follow, Jesus is telling the disciples to follow him. Follow is a key word in the Gospels. Actually, the word follow is used twice as many times as the word teach. Now, making disciples involves teaching, but it does a lot more than teaching. Teaching is passing content from one mind to another mind. But following, discipleship, is taking things from one life to another life. It's based on relationship. Some of you are parents. I think God wants you to make disciples of your children. I think of parents that we get to know in Brazil, and I'm saddened by the fact that many of these parents are putting something else above a relationship with their children. The husband is away at work, out of the house a lot. A lot of the women, the wives, are also at work, giving their most precious time of the day to the work. And I can't help but wonder, are they not putting materialism over the ministry of making disciples of their children? They're letting their children be in daycare, be in with the grandparents, be with somebody else, but they're giving away the precious time in which they could be building a discipleship relationship with their children. And Jesus is saying, follow me. I want to make disciples out of you. Relationship. The second phrase, follow me and I will make you. I will change you. I will transform you from being fishers of fish to fishers of men. Discipleship involves transformation because of a relationship. Marcia was in the group of that group leader, a group leader who was allowing God to work in his life in the area of a short temper. And he was building a relationship with Marcia. And as Marcia was working in the same area, God was using a group leader through the relationship he has with one of our students to work in an area where his life needed to be changed, where transformation was necessary. Follow me, and I will make you. I will change you. I will do some transformation in your life. Then the third phrase, fishers of men. Jesus is saying to his disciples, you follow me, and during these years that we have a relationship together, I will be changing your life to the point where you will end up having the same mission that I have. I came to this world to build into the lives of people. And as you follow me, you're going to be building in the lives of people. You're going to end up with the same mission, fishers of men. I can't help but think, like you mentioned, noticed in the video, that this involves multiplication. Jesus did preach to the multitudes, but he concentrated his time on 12 men. You go back to the very beginning of the scriptures. The command that God first gave to Adam and Eve was multiply, fill the earth. And after the flood, he gives the same challenge to Noah. Multiply, fill the earth. Down the road a ways, he talks to Abraham, and he gives Abraham the challenge to fill the earth. And then out in the desert, after the children of Israel leave Egypt and are headed towards the promised land, he again gives them a challenge. And there in Deuteronomy 6, he's telling parents to build into the lives of their children, to teach them the word that they need to have, first of all, in their own lives, and then teach it to their kids, and then talk about it during the day as they're sitting down around the table, as they're walking along the way, as they go to bed at night, as they get up in the morning. all of that involvement that parents have in the lives of their children, be talking about the things that are most important. And that's the way multiplication happens. Discipleship begins at home, where we multiply through our own children. I can't help but think that the strategy that God has for all of us from the beginning of Scripture to the end is a strategy of multiplication. Marcia came to our school, had a relationship with the group leader, and during the years that he was with us, during the time that he was with that group leader, because of that relationship, transformation went on in his life. Changes were being made. With the idea that he would become a fisher of men. And as I was talking this last time with Marcia, I was impressed with the way God has used him and his wife to multiply up and down the coast of the Atlantic Ocean there in Brazil, up the Amazon River, and now as a regional field leader for all of South America. God using him to multiply. I was born in the country of Guatemala. My parents were missionaries in an Indian tribe way back up in the mountains. That's where I grew up. And then I came to the States for high school and college. After my training, I worked for a while with Word of Life at their camp up in the Adirondack Mountains, upstate New York. I met Mary Ann in the same high school that I went to. And while we were finishing education, we were married, worked a little bit at Word of Life, and then were challenged to go to Brazil. A couple years ago, I had the privilege of taking five of our grandsons back to Guatemala. Some of you who are grandparents, you should talk to Mary Ann and find out what she does one day a week. It's Grandma's Day. And when we had a lot of our grandchildren in Brazil still, they used to all come to the house. She'd make a meal for them and do different projects with them during the afternoon. When they all came to the house, that's when I left the house. There was quite a bit of noise, quite a little movement there, but it had a good impact on the lives of some of our grandchildren. When they graduate from Grandma's Day, normally when they come to the end of getting ready for high school, we try to do something special with each one of them. And this trip to Guatemala with five of the grandsons was the special thing that we were doing with them. And it was a chance for me to get back and see what was going on back there in the mountains where my parents had worked, and to have the grandsons see it also. We got back into the town where my dad had built a house. The house was no longer there. You know, years ago there was warfare in Guatemala. There were guerrillas there and they had burned the house down. But we saw a little bit of the foundations there still. And I went back memory lane and remembering the times when my parents were in the house working most of the afternoon translating the New Testament into the dialect of the Indians. And on weekends, on Sundays, we would go down to a house where maybe 15, 20, 25 Indians would gather for our Sunday morning service. And that was my memory of the number of Indians in the town where my parents lived. I had had a chance to travel with them around to other places where they had quite an impact, founding several churches and leading a lot of people, training a lot of young men for leadership in the churches. With these five men, I was able to see something that my parents never saw. In that town where I had memories of meeting with 20 or 25 Indians, we saw a church building built by the Indians themselves that seated 1,000 people. And up on the platform, we saw five Indian pastors. I thought to myself, I wonder if my parents ever even dreamed of this kind of thing. Fantastic multiplication. And then we traveled Back when I was a kid, the only way we could travel was on horseback. It took us 2 days on horseback to get from our house to the end of the car road. Now we were driving through those towns, and we drove through another town where we saw another big church building that also was pretty close to seating 1,000 people. And there we were told that 50% of the people in that town were evangelicals. I don't think my parents had a dream of that kind of thing. For me, it was just fantastic multiplication. And I think that's what God has in mind. And it's multiplication through discipleship. Jesus investing in 11, 12 men in order to reach the world. And when he comes to the end of his ministry, he leaves us the command, make disciples of all nations. Think with me through those last words of Jesus at the end of Matthew 28. All authority. I have all authority in heaven and on earth. This is the Jesus that we've been singing about this morning, saying, I have all authority. Now, if you and I were one of those disciples hearing that, and we're here this morning hearing that, Jesus is saying, I have all authority. That leads me to think something serious is coming. Here's the one who has authority over me. Whatever he's going to say now, I've got to pay attention. This is serious. And then he says, make disciples. That's the command. It's an imperative. It seems to me that's probably the big command over all other commands that we might put under it. And I have to ask myself, Dave, are you doing that? Are you obeying the command that Jesus is giving? And then it's not just make disciples, but it's of all nations. Multiplication. And then the last thing he says, and I will be with you always. And if I don't know how to make disciples, if I'm timid, and I am, if I have limitations, how in the world am I going to be able to obey what Jesus is telling me to do? I will be with you. Jesus is encouraging us. You can make disciples. I can make disciples. We men, we women, husbands, fathers, wives, mothers, single people, all of us have got to pay attention to the imperative that Jesus is giving to us. Make disciples. And who knows? I wonder if those 12 disciples later on in life had any kind of idea of the extent of what they were reaching. But they're the ones that really started the outreach to the whole world. And maybe you and I won't see the results of our impact, but as we build into the life of one or two, maybe three, building a relationship, follow me. I'm going to build a relationship with you so that both of us can allow God to work in our lives. Follow me, and I will make you, transform me from being what I am, as limited as I am, to whatever it is that God wants to make of my life. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And the end result is all nations. When I was in seminary down in Dallas, there was a teacher there who had a great impact on my life. I don't know if you've heard the name of Dr. Howard Hendricks. I was so impacted by him that we invited him several times to come down to Brazil, and he did. He spent some time with us in Brazil. But he told the story of how he came to know the Lord. In a church in Philadelphia, this older man was walking down the street. He saw four or five little boys playing marbles on the sidewalk. He stopped to talk to them. And he invited them to come to a Sunday school that he was teaching. One of those boys was Dr. Hendricks. And Dr. Hendricks has had an impact on the lives of people all around this world. Multiplication. I don't even know the name of that Sunday school teacher. I don't know if he touched the lives of others. But even if it was only through Howard Hendricks, he had a multiplied impact. And maybe you, some little kid in your neighborhood, somebody where you work, somebody in your family, God can use you to impact a life that ends up part of the multiplication that he has in mind. So my challenge to you would be, let's pray for one another. Pray for the people in your family. Pray for the colleagues, members you have here in church. Pray for one another in terms of helping these people to obey the command that God gives us. God wants us to make disciples. Lord, help so-and-so. May all of us take steps forward in obeying this command that God has given us. And He's with us. He'll encourage us.